Well, I feel like I'm at home. I know so many of you, and I promise I would not cry. I've met many of you either personally, on a call, a phone call, a Zoom call, and I really feel like I've gotten to know your heart, so I thought I would share a little bit more about who I am, so you know who you're talking to. I know. I grew up in Minneapolis. And I grew up at a time when it was okay for kids to run out and play outside, and hands always in the dirt. Fast forward a lot of years, now I have 7 children, I have 5 grandchildren. But along the way, when my oldest, who is now 34, was an infant, she was always having upper respiratory infections. And so I go to the pediatrician. By the way, I had a natural childbirth. It was with a midwife, no vaccines. And in 1984, that was really odd. See my second head. And he said, well, kids get sick. It's okay that she's sick. I don't think so. So I took, because I questioned him, he wanted me to put her on this new antibiotic, and I threw it away in front of him. And I had a conversation with somebody that I remembered one from many years back. And I went and visited this holistic doctor. He was a chiropractor, acupuncturist. He was really good with nutrition. He worked on her, and in a couple of weeks, she was fine. The only time she's ever sick is when what? She's eating chips and drinking pop, and she calls me up and says, I'm sick. What are you eating? She goes, I knew you'd ask me that. Then why do you call me? But that just set me on the course. Through that, I got my first certification as a macrobiotic chef. And again, fast forward, I've taught my kids about natural weeds and wild edibles, and that's what led me to this amazing woman we're going to talk to. And you're going to listen to and learn so many things through. It's through her that I have found so much of myself. I would not be here. I would not be here able to hold this microphone without shaking it to death. Because she's given me the confidence, the knowledge of who I truly am. And not just as a practitioner. I may have really helped so many people in their own health and in their own lives, but it's only because my life has been transformed, and it's been through her company, through her community, that I've been allowed to be here. And so without further ado, I want to introduce Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo.
Right? Stay here. So what I want to do is publicly give Lynn her certification. She has passed all the requirements for nutritional endocrinology practitioner, and she is now officially a nutritional endocrinology practitioner through the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. Deserved, well deserved. Yay! Look at that, you got a standing ovation. Thank you.
Next year?
Yeah.
You're gonna be up here.
Yeah, we want a whole train of them. And I'm gonna talk about why. Okay, yeah, go ahead and. Yeah, you can leave it here. Give it to Chet. Yeah, come on in. So I want to tell you guys There's going to be some wonderful people filing in. There are nutritional endocrinology practitioners of various backgrounds and various lengths of time in the program. That one. You, Michelle? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, perfect. And they're going to tell some stories of people that they helped as a result of the learnings that they're going to do. And I see when they're, and one of the biggest things I see is people have lack of confidence. It's not that you don't know enough, but you have lack of confidence. And every stage that you know, you can help a few people that are still behind you on the path. Not, you don't have to be here to help somebody who's dehydrated and needs some B vitamins and some greens, right? So I want them to share some stories that they have of people and cases and some complicated cases that they've solved to give you some ideas of how they approached it and what allowed them to do it. What did they do and how'd they feel? They probably felt a little shaky at the beginning, right? Even Chad, who's a 15-year medical doctor, when she started to apply some new techniques that she's learned here, it's very different. So I want everybody to have the confidence to get out because we have a big mission, right? Okay, so welcome, have a seat. We're gonna just have a casual conversation. Actually, you have some slides. You'll see your slides down here. Okay, this is Chet. Chet is a medical doctor who's been in pretty traditional type practice for a while.
All traditional
practice for a very big and booming practice with her husband, who's also a medical doctor, and they are branching out on New Horizons. So, Chet, tell them a little bit more about what you're
about. So, till 2015, I'm a family practitioner, traditional family practitioner, primary care physician in Wilmington, Delaware, and I've been practicing since 2005. That's when I graduated. So completely in the field, like all the doctors you know. So then in 15, it started around 13 when I started seeing, noticing that most people come with these non-specific symptoms when I can't box them in a diagnosis or a label. Some of them you can or you're trying to, but doesn't make sense or doesn't feel right. And then you do all the tests and you do everything, but still you don't get anywhere. The person's still suffering. You can tell them this is all I can do, or refer them to 5 specialists, which I did initially, because I didn't know what was going on. And they all came back, the specialist saying, oh, the heart is okay, the GI is okay, the other systems, like kind of putting them in pieces, and said this was okay, so it's not my business, I'll give it back to you. It's a commodity. That doesn't mean I kind of completely, don't like traditional medicine. I do think, as you all know, has a place for it. So I do use it. So I'm integrated more than anything else right now. But going back a little bit in 15 is when I started seeing this, and I said there has to be something else. I didn't know there was something called functional medicine at all. I had heard of Ayurveda because I'm from India, and I know there's homeopathy, Ayurveda, and all other modalities. So I'd even tried to do that, but I didn't do that because it was too, that was like a lifetime of, thing that I had to get into. So then I discovered functional medicine in 2015 from a TED talk I actually heard from Dr. Hyman, Mark Hyman, and then looked into interventional functional medicine, IFM. Something didn't click. So I don't even know the story how I came across this wonderful lady who's sitting next to me. And started listening to her passion. I think that's what is important in the first place, what came through, and how much she wanted to educate her patients more than the doctors. So I love that fact that the person needs to know about their body, everything, more than anything else, and go and, like she always says, go and ask your doctor. I agree with that. So that's what led me into functional medicine. So that was my first SHINE conference. That's all I needed. So I signed up for the NEPD, in fact, the Practice Accelerator course, and ever since I've been in the program. So that's my history. So I guess I can keep talking about it, but let me go to the patient history, I guess. So of course, ever since I've started doing NEPT, I've had a lot different approach, different way I look at things, which is awesome because things are changing. I have a wide spectrum from people who have no idea about what functional medicine is to the other spectrum, which is 1%, who know everything and they want more. So it's always hard to kind of, you know, personalize it, as always Dr. Ritamani says, and that's the most important thing. So the case I'm going to present, it's interesting. You probably have seen it, but it's just to know that it, you know, I am a physician, MD, who's looking at it, but you can do it too. So it's not just a physician. Everybody, as health coaches, probably you can do it probably more specifically. You can take more time, and you know, you can do it beautifully. So that's the whole idea. So I had this young lady who came to me for the first time, you know, Asian descent, a 32-year-old woman, history of multiple, you know, physical symptoms, myalgias, body's aching all over, not feeling good, brain fog, depression, anxiety, you know, and it was kind of not culturally okay for her to say I'm depressed or anxious, but she wasn't feeling good. She couldn't concentrate, mood disturbance, all that kind of stuff. But no past history, because she's young. She's had 3 pregnancies, 3 children, who are, you can see the age is 3 to 1, so you know how busy she is. And on top of it, her profession is, like, she has a full-time job. She's an IT professional. So her husband doesn't have a job, but still, he's looking for a job. So culturally also, they're not very cooperative. So he's trying to help her, but she has to do everything. Her emotional state, I just put it there just to, for you to know all what's happening with her. Is she's a worrier, she's confused, you know, perfectionist, works very hard, all that. No allergies, medication. So anyway, so I took her history and everything, did a bunch of blood work, including a whole thyroid panel. So she comes to me next time, maybe about 2 weeks after, or a month, I can't remember. Then we do her blood work. So I guess, go to the next slide. So when we go to the next slide, it'll show her blood work. So she had free T4, which was low. TSH was 10. Free T3 was normal. And then, so the only thing which came up in that, which was a couple of things, A1C was borderline, as you see, pre-diabetic. The TPO was greater than 900. So now you know why she was feeling all that. But normally, if I had just seen the TSH, I would have put her on medication. I said, okay, you know, this is all it is, and that's it. But but other than that, you know, I actually told her this whole protocol we put her on, which was, this is it. Is that the clicker?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, oops. Okay, I know this. All right. So put her on a gut protocol, you know, which you see there, gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, all what I learned from Dr. Ritamani. Educated on toxins, the water, whole foods. Everything was changed. So almost I was telling her, you have to change your whole lifestyle. Like, nothing whatever you're doing is right. And lower your carbohydrates. You know, it's like 50 to 100 grams per day. Now she has to keep, on top of everything she's going through, she has to take care of all this stuff. It's like low glycemic fruits, hydration. I did give her some, you know, I'm very big into mind-body thing because I think that's a huge part. You know, we've heard that so many different ways in this, you know, conference about meditation, heart math, binaural beats. I have more than that, but that's a whole different topic. But anyway, so counseled on about giving her a different perception about how to handle her worries. She's a worrier. I mean, I haven't done her genetic screening, but could be that. So graded exercise, because you don't want it to be like a stressful thing too, that, oh, I didn't exercise, so I'm more stressed now. So as much as she could, get out in the sun, get some sun, and did put her on 50,000 because her, I forgot to put in there, vitamin D was like 6 or 7. So there you go, you have. But being a physician, because her thyroid is struggling, so I did put her on a really small dose, which was 25 micrograms, just to see what happens. So then she follows up 3 months. Oops, again. That's good. Again. Anyway, so the follow-up is what is fabulous. This is where you... like, you know, you feel like you won $1 million. So this hasn't happened even when you win a lottery. So this is how I felt. So she came in and I opened the door, like, of the room. I rock in. I didn't expect her to do all this thing because of just the way her life is. And she was a whole new person, really. She looked bright. She looked energetic. She's like, you changed my life, doc. It's like I haven't had anybody who did that spoke this or had me do this stuff. And it was really a shock for me because I didn't expect it. And her husband says, you know what, you can't believe how strict or how focused she's in following all this stuff. Even I cannot do it. You know, I tried to follow all this stuff because I had said they'd come as a family. And the kids were screaming, and so I don't even know how much she heard from me. So that's why my expectations were very low. So she did hear every word I said. So that was the key. So then she comes back. So she was completely, really a new person. All her symptoms were gone. And you don't see this often. People are kind of in the middle, especially my population. So that was feeling of almost like I said, it was so good that made my... Not just the day, months go by really quickly. So she comes back again a year later, so she kept it. So I think, and then of course, the biggest thing for me was she said, oh, I referred you to, you know, 20 other people, my whole community, all that stuff. That's all good, but obviously, I mean, I'm not looking at that. But what I wanted to tell from this is awesome because you know, it doesn't have to take a physician. What I use is all a functional protocol, health coaches, whatever you may be doing. You just have to have a passion about healing this person. That's all you need. So I would really urge whoever's, I mean, I know you're all here to, you know, you wouldn't be here otherwise, to really personally take on this, you know, community to just heal others. So you may have come for your own thing, but you could do more as you see yourself heal. So that would be awesome to see you guys all actually a part of it. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Chet. Oops. Awesome. So next we're going to have Michelle Gamble, Dr. Michelle Gamble, who is a natural doctor. I don't know if you call it naturopathic or natural, something else, but it's a natural doctor. She had a doctorate in natural medicine. And she has a really profound story to share. And it's a kid, right? Yeah. And so we work with all different age groups. And the compliance, as Chet said, we don't always get it. But when you can get people inspired to actually do what you ask them to do, miracles happen. Miracles happen quickly. Yeah.
I'd like to begin by saying thank you to Dr. Rita Marie, because as you see this story unfold, you will understand why I'm ever so grateful to her. Yeah. This story begins many, many years ago. I want you to think about the fact that in our country, we have so many children that are in the foster care system. These children don't have mothers and fathers the way maybe some of you are used to having a mother or father who at least cares about you. With these children, they enter into the system. For this young lady, she entered into the system when she was 2 years old. At the age of two, she was put into a foster care placement, and then she stayed in that foster care placement for many years. She went back to her biological mother for a short period of time and then back into a foster placement. When I entered into the scene as a practitioner, she was 12 years old. She had the placement disrupted. There was uncertainty about whether or not there was sexual abuse. That was the allegation. She entered into the foster care system to be replaced. At that point in time, they placed her with a foster family, and there was just a lot of difficulty with that woman for taking care of her because she would never sleep. In fact, what she would do is she would creep into the room of her foster mother, and she would steal the rings off of her toes. Subsequently, when she did that, the foster mother became also lack of sleep. It came to the point where they had to get what was called a respite provider. And that respite provider stepped in. Working with the respite provider, what we looked at was the fact that this young lady had certain proclivities. She wanted to eat a lot of sweets. She was also drinking a lot of water. We also noticed that she had difficulty reading and comprehending certain things. The respite provider then notified the department, there's something going on here. Made the recommendations for her blood sugar to be tested. Also made recommendations for having different tests done to look at her nutritional balance. The respite provider did what she could in terms of creating the proper food balance. When the child was with the respite provider, the child went to sleep and slept like an ordinary person because the respite provider didn't give her sugary drinks, they give her a lot of high carbohydrate foods, things of that nature. In any case, she went back to the original foster parent, and that foster parent realized that she could not continue taking care of her because ultimately this young lady, this child who was 12, she had to go and get herself checked because one of her kidneys was missing. During that check, they determined that her blood sugar was in the 400s.
Oh.
That is when she got diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic. At that point, she had to be placed with the person who was the respite provider because that person had qualifications as a behavioral foster parent as well as a medical foster parent. That foster parent worked with her, and when she worked with her, the blood glucose started to come into balance. Then the foster parent said, hey, maybe we need to reconsider this type 1 diagnosis. The endocrinologist said, nope, it is type 1, and I'm telling you it's type 1, and it's type 1. When asked about it, the endocrinologist said, because I know, I've dealt with enough children to know that this is type 1, but agreed to titrate the medication down. During that course of time, the child was able to titrate the medication down. Also, there was a concern about psychological issues. The child, even though she was going through a very trying situation in terms of being in court, the biological mother's parental rights were being terminated. None of that was taken into consideration. Also, the fact, remember I told you she was 12 going on 13. What do we know happens to young ladies at that time? Puberty. The foster parent asked the endocrinologist, could this have some kind of effect on, you know, the fact that she's acting out, the fact that her blood glucose levels are going skewed? She was told, no, female hormones have nothing to do with that. Subsequently, they started to put the child on several different antipsychotics. They diagnosed the child with things like bipolar, schizophrenia, and therefore put her on a variety of different medications. During all of this back and forth, there was a lot of contention between the foster parent and the Department of Children and Family Services and things of that nature. They finally pulled her from that placement. During that time that she was pulled from that placement, if we can go back to the first screen, things evolved. And this is where I once again stepped in. And this is where we start, where she is 16 at this point in time, 5'1", she's 180 pounds.
Oh.
During the time that she was taken away from the foster parent, she gained over 70 pounds of weight. She complained of bloating and gas frequently, was misinterpreted as pregnancy because, oh, I forgot to mention to you, this child is significantly mentally retarded. She has an IQ of less than 40. Subsequently, when things happen, she says, oh, mommy, I'm pregnant. So everyone runs around thinking she's pregnant, doing a lot of pregnancy tests and things of that nature. Also with her PMS, what the foster parents started to notice was that she would increase in her aggressive behavior. The next thing that we notice, if we go to the next slide, is that along with the IQ being between 40 and 50, she was, as I said, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and the A1C was being modulated with insulin and metformin at 7.2. She also had the diagnosis of follicular cyst. Now this, keep in mind, this was only after the foster parent took the department to court to demand that she get tested because the foster parent said, look, something is going on here and I'm wondering about it. I wonder if there's some kind of hormonal imbalance going on. So finally she was able to get that validation that the child had follicular cysts. You guys know that's related to dysregulation of hormones in addition to insulin resistance and things of that nature. Additionally, this child has scoliosis. You have to really, again, keep in mind a lot of our children in the foster care system have a variety of issues. That's why many times they're being abused, cast aside, and things of that nature. And last but not least, a myriad of different psychiatric diagnoses, because of course when one symptom presents itself, they start to medicate, and then that medication requires another medication, and then it just skyrockets from there. We move forward, continuing to move forward. Working with the adoptive mother, we started to change a lot of the nutritional protocol. When I was working with this mother, I realized that I'd worked with a lot of different clients who were type 2 diabetic. And I was very comfortable with that. However, at this point in time, this particular client meant the world to me. And that's when I decided to step out of my little bubble and get some help. That is where Dr. Rita Marie steps in. Because people ask me how I met Dr. Rita Marie, and I say she was an answer to my prayers. And I'm not saying that just figuratively. I literally begged and said, I need someone to help me. I need someone to give me a little bit more insight into what's going on. Because as you can see, this is a very complex case. There are so many different layers. I can't even get into all of the different layers. And Dr. Rita Marie stepped in to give me some insight into helping to deal with a myriad of the different issues, especially the psychiatric side of things, where the reality is that our psychiatric system does not acknowledge the fact that I would say the majority of psychiatric cases have a biochemistry feedback in there. And when you address that, the psychiatric issues go away. So I worked with the mother by doing something absolutely crazy, because at this time, the mother had become the actual adoptive parent. And I stepped in and I said, we're going to do something really crazy. Now that the ink has dried on your adoption papers, okay, you game? She said, yes. We took the child on a retreat to a retreat center. We put the child on a fast and a cleanse and totally got the child off all the medications, all the psychiatric medications, everything. And then started to infuse her with proper nutrition from juicing and salads and things of that nature. When the child returned back to school, no psychiatric symptoms. The blood sugar level stabilized. The A1C stabilized. If we can move to the next slide. Got off of the metformin, the Abilify, clonazepam, profenazine, insulin, both the fast-acting and the slow-acting insulin. Moving to next slide. And keep in mind that this child also had a familial history of diabetes, a maternal history of drug abuse, and mental issues. Remember that schizophrenia and all of these different types of psychiatric disorders tends to be genetic, right? So we move forward and look at the implementation of what we call orthomolecular psychology, where you're integrating nutrition and wellness, and now we end up with a fasting insulin, which is within functional parameters, not even lab parameters. We're looking at the fact that her A1C becomes balanced to the point of 6.7 with no insulin, no metformin. One of the things that we get to at this point in time is that I'm going to have a complete disclosure, transparency. That biological mother was me.
The biological or adoptive?
Sorry, adoptive mother. Thank you. Was me.
Adoptive.
And I wish I could say that this has a happy ending, but it doesn't. Because what some of us were talking about just before I got onto the stage is that when these changes occur, it blows people's mind. It upsets their paradigm. And the Department of Children and Family Services said, you know what? This cannot be happening. They stepped in, and in December of last year, they took my daughter. Why? Because she had lost all the weight. Now she was 100 pounds. And they said in court, she lost the weight. There was something wrong. Why? Because she was no longer taking the psychiatric medications. And they said she needed to take the psychiatric medications. When they took her, okay, within 24 hours, she started to have the symptomology once again of the bloating, because of course they were giving her wonderful hospital food, yum yum. So she had the symptomology of the bloating and the gassing. She became almost catatonic, non-responsive. Within 48 hours, they checked her into the psychiatric ward. She was once again manifesting hallucinations, okay? That is why what we do with genetic testing is so important. We, as functional practitioners, health coaches, whatever you are, you have to step out of that bubble of comfort, because this was comfort for me. You know, I'm very used to using food and looking at symptoms and looking at feedback and saying, okay, we're gonna adjust the program, do this. But guess what? The court system doesn't care about that. The court system cares about what do you have as your concrete data to substantiate what you are doing. And even though I had other people working with me, Dr. Rita Marie, I have to tell you, my own daughter's doctors wanted $1,200 to testify in court. Not that they did anything, but just to testify that what I was saying was actually fact and I wasn't making things up. Dr. Rita Marie came in and testified at no charge, because during the NEPT program, I had a family. I had people that I could bring up my daughter's case and they would sit there troubleshooting with me. I wasn't alone. And she did not abandon me at that time. And I know I was going crazy at that point in time, because in the program I said, oh, but I now need module this and I need module that. Because you get into that point of, it's not enough, maybe I need more information. But it wasn't about more information. It was about having a tribe, having a family to support you as you go through that kind of situation. And what I looked at was, I wanted to be able to get certain tests to validate what I was doing, but I didn't have those tests because I couldn't afford it. These were the tests that I wanted to do. I couldn't get the department to run them. If you can get a genetic test, if you can get these tests run, these are the things that will help you to have that credibility in court, because some of you may end up either in court or your clients may end up in court, because as I said, you are going contrary to the establishment. They do not want to acknowledge that what we are doing works, that people can heal and get off of medication. People can heal and no longer have to be on insulin and metformin. People can heal and no longer have to take psychiatric medications. So we need to have you guys be trained and be well-versed in these types of functional tests, including genetics, so that when you empower your parents, empower your caregivers, and empower yourselves, you can stand up in court and defend what you're doing so that they don't have to lose their children the way that I did.
Mm. Wow. Beautifully spoken, and our hearts all break for you. For standing up. Oh, he's getting it. So, next we're going to have Annette. And Annette is going to tell a story and a case. Huh?
Parts of it overlap.
There's some parts that overlap, because, yeah, it's the diabetic part anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Annette's going to share a little bit about yourself while we're waiting to get the slide up.
So I'm probably the only one up here without any kind of medical degree. I'm a mom that needed answers. I'm a mom that was curious and started studying. And fortunately, when this happened, I had already been studying. I hadn't found Dr. Rita Marie yet, but she played a key part in this story, as with all of us up here. Type 1 diabetes, it's an autoimmune condition. You're not born with it. You might be born genetically predisposed, but you are not born with type 1. So I'm going to give you a little history. We can go ahead. Thank you. 21-year-old female. It was the end of her junior year in college. She really had no medication during her life, up until this point, except during labor and delivery, not vaccinated. She grew up pretty clean home, without a lot of chemical exposures. But like I said, she definitely had some genetic stuff going on. That last semester of school, that junior semester, she had a heavy workload. She was under a lot of stress. There's no timer. She was sick a lot that semester, just couldn't get better. She had gone to Italy with her with the school and had come home sick and never got better. She returned home on May 17th, which was a Sunday night. She thought she had a cold. On the 19th, May 19th, she was diagnosed. I took her to the doctor. She was diagnosed with the virus and told, go home and rest. That was a pretty wicked, weird night. My child actually looked at me that night and said, is it okay if I check out? I was like, no, that's not good. During the early morning hours, I noticed her breath was really sweet. Didn't know what that meant at that point in time. She was struggling to breathe. In the morning, I couldn't wake her up. I was slapping her face, calling her name. She tried to wake up, but couldn't. She was floppy like a rag doll. She couldn't sit up. We had to hold her up in the car. When we got her to the hospital, my friend asked for a gurney, and they gave us a wheelchair. And we're like, she can't sit up. So we had to walk behind her and hold her in the wheelchair. Continuing on that day, or how I spent my birthday, happy birthday, Mom. Her ailments, she had multiple organ failures. You can see she had brain swelling. She was diagnosed with diabetic ketoacidosis. Had no idea what that was. She was intubated. She at one point, she had up to 16 different IVs on her. She was diagnosed as a diabetic, and that day, actually the next day, she slipped into a coma. She was on a lot of medications, 2, 3, 4 different kinds of antibiotics, a couple of different sedatives. Diabetic ketoacidosis, if you don't know what it is, it's very high blood glucose along with very acidic blood. It is a fast, rapid onset. It came on probably in about 24 hours or less. And it's frequently a very fatal disease, and brains can herniate while you're in DKA. It's a big fear in the diabetic world. You can go on. Thank you. At time of admittance, you can see her blood glucose was 625. Her A1C was 14.3, and there's her daily average. Over 7, and A1C over 7 is uncontrolled diabetes. So for 3 or 4 months, my kid had these obscene blood sugars, and we didn't even know it. I put her carbon dioxide on there because that shows the acidity in the blood. We can go next. Thank you. This is dialysis. That's actually her blood in there. She had 4 dialysis treatments while she was in the hospital. This one was the day she woke up. She went on to have multiple scans. She had a spinal tap the second day we were in there. The brain swelling, they were concerned that was meningitis, and they wanted to do the spinal tap to rule out meningitis. The actual brain swelling she had is just a side effect of the diabetic ketoacidosis. When she agreed to the kidney biopsy, because she was awake by then, they found out her kidneys were clogged with oxalates, which was the last week of school, she had eaten nothing but oxalate food. The doctor kept going, no, it's a physical problem. We're going to have to take the kidney out. And I'm like, no, we're not taking organs out. So it's like, no, we're going out with the organs we brought in so we can. For like the next year, we weaned down the amount of insulin she was on with the supervision of her endo, even though her mom was willing to do it without. She worked with a homeopath and a chiropractor. She started going to the gym. Her insulin levels dropped dramatically during this time, and she was actually able to get off the long-acting insulin. Her kidneys were declared cured just a couple months later, and she went back to school in the fall and graduated on time. So that was huge. But mom followed her to school. Mom moved from Houston to Birmingham during that time. And it was around this time period where I was looking for a functional medicine doctor to take my daughter to that I found Dr. Rita Marie. So I came here 2 years ago, not signing up for anything. I've done enough programs, but what she's talking about's really cool, so I at least want to listen. I was like one of the first people back at the table, and I'm like, sign me up. We did a very strict elimination diet, and she's also been diagnosed with Hashimoto's because autoimmune diseases travel in pairs and packs. There's never just one. Next, please. So at this time, I had actually started studying with Dr. Rita Marie. My daughter, this is a time period, a lot of diabetics they have burnout. And they just shut down and they don't care for themselves. And this was her time period to do that. And she was complaining of a lot of complaints again. And I'm reading, you know, and listening to Dr. Rita Marie, and I'm like, okay, well, there's something wrong with the blood sugar. Kid, I think you're running high. No, Mom, I'm not. I test myself 6 times a day. I know what my blood sugar is. Okay, but you really don't, because out of a 24-hour period, you only know like 20 minutes what your blood sugar is. No, Mom, I'm good. Okay, she finally broke down and went and got the new blood work done. Her glucose had gone back up to 302. It had dropped. Her A1C was high again. She was getting acidic because 18 is considered where you want to be. And her vitamin D level also stunk. I got this blood work and cried for 2 weeks. I knew from what I had learned in class that my child was going back into diabetic ketoacidosis, because I could take that blood work and I could connect the pieces, and I didn't need to wait 2 weeks for the doctor's appointment for the doctor to go, oh wow, this is really bad, huh? We couldn't do DKA. My daughter almost died that first time, and there was no way we were doing this again. A week after this blood work, she called me at midnight. She was terrified because her blood glucose had gone up to 375. We sat up for an hour on the phone that night. I'm ready. Due to going rogue, her insulin levels went back up. She wore a temporary glucose monitor for 8 days, which was horrible because she was high almost all the time. But she finally got to see. And it was at this point I could get her to go, you know, you really need to test your blood sugar every 15 minutes after you eat. So we made a game of it. I was with her at that time. And I'm like, well, this is what we're taught in the program. And we did it. And we got out 5 or 6 meters. And we made a game of it. And she started to actually listen to some of the things I was saying at that time. We can go on. My child has the VDR gene. So she doesn't absorb the vitamin D like she should. She needs more because she's autoimmune. She needs more because she's diabetic. The VDR, they're studying it. It is being linked possibly to insulin resistance and also to type 1 diabetes. So she needs to take extra all the time. And on the chart today, you were talking about how with the VDR SNPs, you can't do warfarin. Mm-hmm. I actually ran her genes through one of those medical programs, and that's the only drug that came back red, is she can't have warfarin. And now I know why. It's the VDR gene. Mm-hmm. She also has the gene that allows you to process the caffeine, which I knew what it was, again, from my studies, and I wouldn't tell her because she likes coffee. And she was talking to a different functional medicine doctor. And the doctor goes, wow, well, let's go through your genes. Oh, look, you've got that great gene where you can handle the caffeine just swell. And my daughter looks at me and she makes, you know, a ha-ha face at me. And I go, I've known that for a couple of months and chose not to tell you. So we're waiting to do new blood work. It'll come soon. But these are the most recent that we have. As you can see, her A1C is pretty dang good for a type 1. She only uses long-acting insulin on rare occasions, which is usually in Houston, because for some reason, Houston just spikes her.
Toxins.
Mm-hmm. She eats very low carb. She actually has meals that are so low in carb, she doesn't take any insulin. And her blood sugars just stay very steady and pretty. Again, information that I've been able to take from this class. She is physically active, and I know from testing, her pancreas still makes insulin. And we're supporting that. I don't want that function to die. I want it to keep producing insulin. Because diabetes, you know, as you heard in Michelle's story, diabetes is the whole family. It's not just that person. And, you know, I studied a lot before I found Dr. Rita Marie, and I could have skipped all that. I could have saved all that money and all that time if I had found her first. I put your favorite picture in. There you go.
I love that picture.
So that's my daughter and I, and she's doing, considering where she was, she's doing great. So thank you, and thank you for helping me keep her alive.
Thank you. So now we have Louisa. Louisa has the distinction of being the only optometrist in our program. Ooh. Woohoo!
<That's right.
laughs> And I first met Louisa a year ago, so you're on.
Well, I started before a year ago, and what I started was first to try to fix me, because I saw my father go blind and to diabetes, and also he ended up on dialysis. And then I would see all my patients, and I kept going like, oh my gosh, I don't want to end up like this, or I don't want all these problems. So I heard Dr. Rita Marie in some lecture that she was that I got on an email. And I enrolled in the insulin-resistant practitioner course first. And then that started me. But before that, I was going to a physician that I kept saying, you know, I'm pre-diabetic. Oh, no, you're crazy. You're fine. You're going to outlive us all. But I insisted and insisted. And I said, no, I took my blood sugar, and it was 105 fasting. Oh, that's pretty good. Some of the diabetics... you know, that's normal. So he says, well, since you insist, I'm going to refer you to an endocrinologist. So I go to an endocrinologist, and I thought she was going to help me. And she says, well, yes, you're pre-diabetic. It's only a matter of time. You'll become diabetic. And it's your age. So therefore, here's a prescription for metformin. So I continued. I would go home and listen to Dr. Rita Marie. And then Shine came up. And I said, I got to go to that thing. So I did. So I came to Shine last year. And I thought, like when I was on insulin resistant, and you would go on the website, and you have all these different titles of different courses, and I would want to go read something about this because my sugars are a little high, and it would say, content not available. Then I would go to another one, content not available. So I thought, this is crazy. So when I come to Shine, I figure out, well, how can I have content not available? Gone. So... So I said, well, I guess I need to sign up for the whole thing. And that was NEPT. Then I can have access to all these things. So I did that. So even though I started my journey to trying to heal myself because wanting to avoid all the other problems, then now that I am in NEPT, and I've only been there a year, so I got a long ways to go. And this is not a two-year program like I... thought it was, okay? I was told, oh, in about 2 years. No. This is a lifetime thing.
When you
thing.
Have a full-time optometry practice and don't have a lot of time, okay. Or a full-time medical practice.
This is a lifetime, but you're learning and you can help every day somebody. So I have helped myself tremendously. I've gone a long way, and someday I'll go back to that doctor and I'm going to tell him, you know what? It was not my age. Because it just is irritating when everything is, oh, it's your age, or it's because you're a woman, or it's because of, you know, something.
Yeah.
So now what I do is I help my patients. Every day I have a patient that I can say something to help them because I have to get their case history. So it starts that way. But I do have one, very, very few patients I will go the full, you know, helping them with more things. So I did bring one case presentation of one of my patients. And she's a 41-year-old female, and she's not overweight. She had always been an athlete. She had been in gymnastics as a young girl. But now she's a university professor, single, no children. She had an exploratory surgery on her hip, which it was later in the case history. I'll let you know something very interesting that ties back to that. She's never been hospitalized and no major illnesses, but in 2015, she was diagnosed with depression. Okay, you wanna, but. Now, she was given three rounds of antibiotics, and she told me they had prescribed Prozac for her, and she had been on that for several years. And she was on birth control pills. And I asked her, well, what supplements are you taking? And she said, well, she was taking D3 because one of the blood work that she had done was a little low. And this oil evening, primrose and spirulina and a calcium citrate. And I said, that's all? And so we started talking, and she came to me for vision problems because she was a high myope. She had amblyopia, which meant like she really wasn't using one eye. It didn't correct to 20/20 because in the past they had decided not to correct her prescription because it was too strong. So therefore, we're only going to correct one eye. You can walk around just seeing with one eye. The other eye is going to be blurry. So when she came to me, and she was complaining about dry eyes, and she also said she had low energy and she had some allergies. So I said, you know, that's not right. If God gave you two eyes, you should use two eyes. So, plus, I always say, you never know what's going to happen to you when you get older. Something's going to happen to your good eye, then you're stuck with the bad eye. So I said, no, we need to figure out something. So we went ahead and I did fit her with scleral lenses, and that improved her vision, and now she does use two eyes, and she has 20/20 with both eyes. She had dry eyes, so we treated her with an amniotic tissue that nourished her cornea. She's doing fine. And we improved with lid hygiene. And then because for all these years, she had not used two eyes, I referred her. Because now she's seeing two eyes, but her brain is fighting. Mm-hmm. So I referred her to a vision therapy doctor, and actually this doctor has an office in Austin also, but she has an office in Austin in San Antonio. So it's Dr. Brianna Larson, and she's almost finished with a whole year of therapy there, or she's graduating pretty soon from that therapy, and it has really helped her. So we've done a lot of things with the vision. Now, as far as the other things about the low energy, I started helping her a little bit. I increased her D3s. I told her about blood work. She did do the gut zoomer and the wheat zoomer, and I told her, you need to do genetic testing. Mm-hmm. So she had no idea about the gut zoomer, and then the wheat zoomer came back, and it says, you have leaky gut. So she had leaky gut, and she says, what's that? I said, well, so I started explaining to her, and I said, you can't have gluten anymore. And And then to make a long story short, she says, that's all I was eating before, so I don't know what to eat anymore. So I said, well, you're going to learn. I'm going to give you some cookbooks. And so now she's learning that there is more food than just gluten.
Because that's good.
And
good to know.
And her inner, let me see. So I think the, and for as far as the allergies, she does have, I referred her to a functional medicine doctor so they can help me with that. She does carry, have an EpiPen because she does have acute allergic reactions. And as far as eye drops, Pazeo was one drop a day, so that's what I prescribed for her now. But in her test results, it showed that she was low on everything. And as we're learning more things, and after she sees the functional medicine doctor, a lot of things are going to get better. And then we're going to keep retesting. So that's just like, we're not at all finished. Like, I cannot say this is after 6 months or after, it still doesn't have, it has a happier, the journey. And I have explained to her, it's not this for you to get well and this cures that. This is lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so in the for the leaky gut, I shared with her what I had learned from Dr. Rita Marie on the GRAND protocol. We did that. She's taking those supplements now. She's been gluten-free for, I don't know, how many, about a month. And she's doing better. Great. And let's see. So we do plan in the future. Let me see. On the, we have increased some of the supplements we did of things that I learned with Dr. Rita Marie. The D3, because she had been low for the 6 weeks protocol, we added some curcumin, and we just went by the results of the test at the time, and that's how we did the methyl, you know, some of the supplements. She still hasn't gotten all of them yet because mm-hmm. we're just starting. And I think, let me see.
That's
good. So, and we do have a plan. She is stopping the birth control pills because she didn't need them. And she's going to have the Dutch test. And she does have the appointment with the functional medicine doctor. And she's getting, her plans are to figure out how to get off Prozac because I told her she was not a depressed person. And, but now, because now, with the genetics, we know that she can change the epigenetics so she can take care of that way, not with Prozac. Yeah, and okay. So we're introducing her to all the new foods.
Yay.
So I just want to thank you. And thank, if it was not because of Dr. Rita Marie or for me first to think that I wanted to fix me, I wouldn't be able to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Thank
so, thank you, Dr. Rita Marie.
And thank you for. Yeah.
A couple of months ago, my daughter complained of an eye problem. And I said, we can go back to the doctor in Houston, or we can go see this new lady that I met at Dr. Rita Marie's Think Shine thing last year. And my daughter chose Louisa. And. She had to, you know, I give her a choice. So it was great. My daughter's thrilled. And we just got great, wonderful service. So for those of you in the area, go see Louisa. That's all.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
I just wanted to say that I see a future, and you can all, that's why I'm thinking that, you know, what you all are going to do is fabulous, is team up with somebody like the beautiful health coaches and all of you with a doctor, which would be great because then you have an entry point or gateway where patients come to the doctor anyway. But then if you partner and really have them see through what you want them to see through, and that would be the best scenario. So find the medical, you know, functional practitioner, medical practitioner around where you live and explain what you can actually do, because I don't think many know. They just know of a dietitian. Nothing wrong with them, the nutritionists, but this is more. So mm-hmm. you can have more effective results, and their practice will grow too. So it's kind of like a teamwork, because again, a team help can help, like Rina Marie was saying, by educating people and getting into this, you know, by practitioners influencing a bigger community. So I'm actually already working with Michelle, and she's been fabulous, you know, with my people, my patients. So, and she's actually involved in educating our, you know, we're kind of getting the process situated. So education is the other thing. You can, you know, have, you can do education for them, bring it to the community and representing them that this is, I work for this doctor, because they may not have the time, but somebody like you and Michelle would definitely have the time or make time. If you get busy, maybe a problem, but I'm just saying that that would be a that would be a good way to go out in the community, however you want to do it, whether you want to have webinars, whether you want to have community, like cooking classes, which I do actually, cooking classes, and it's a big hit, because people love the interaction and everything, what they want to ask, so it's just, there's no limit to that, so that would be awesome to go into the community to spread the, you know, the information.
Great, thank you.
I would just like to really emphasize what Dr. Chitano was saying, that, as again, we are in our little bubble sometimes, and we have phenomenal outcomes with the clients that we work with. When they took my daughter from me, one of the first calls that I made was Dr. Kripalu, because I said, you know what? I need to have another set of eyes looking at these numbers, and I need to get a medical perspective on what's going on. I need to make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's. It is very, very critical that we help our clients to create a healthcare team, that we do not put them in a position where they feel that they have to choose between one person or another. That's a very difficult position to be in. I encourage you to look into your communities, to seek out people who have medical credentials that you can possibly partner with, that you can possibly use as a sounding board. That's one of the beautiful things about this particular program, that we have people from a variety of different entry levels, you know, from health coach. My personal training is that I have a doctorate in naturology, and then we have medical doctors, and we come together and we do case studies, and all of us are equally valued. You know, it's not like the person who's a health coach is looked at the bottom of the totem pole and medical doctor is, oh, the top of the totem pole. When I work with Dr. Kripalu, I feel wonderfully supported, which is, to me, miraculous, because she's a medical doctor. I know that a lot of times we're like, enemy, they're the enemies, you know. Some of my clients even say, are you against medications? And I say, no, they're phenomenal. I wouldn't be here if not for Western medicine. Please, if you're not going to get into this program, and I definitely implore that you do, when I said that I prayed about this, I really prayed, because for me, it was not about my ego. I got to the point, it was my daughter. And for some of you, it may be your siblings, it may be your mama, it may be a certain patient. Take ego out of the equation. All of us need mentorship. All of us need a family. And any PT is my family. I know that when crap hits the fan, I can pick up the phone, I can go into the case study webinars, and I can get not only critical help as a practitioner, but more importantly, I get people who care about me and care about the people that I care about.
Mm, thank you, Michelle. Thank you, all of you. Your stories are all, you know, they're entwined, they're different. I think if you hold it to the we'll double. And I love that you shared all this and that how it's changed you and moving forward and what's possible. Whatever your practice is, you need to be getting out there and showing that you know what you're doing, right? You have what it takes to help people. And I love the idea of the partnerships, because it does make a difference. Because there is a lot of scrutiny. There is a lot of scrutiny because they're scared. They're scared because, like, imagine if you went to a school, you went to 4 years of school, and then you went to 4 years of residency, and you put your heart and your soul into doing something, and then you get out and practice, and people are saying, well, that's not right, and that's not right, and that's not right. How do you feel? You feel pretty deflated. Some people feel that way and go, well, I better learn what is right. I better learn this new thing that's coming up. And some say, nope, I'm only doing what I learned in medical school. That's the only thing valid, right? there are plenty out there. They just need to be exposed. Chet got exposed accidentally, like looking, and like others are going, why am I just keeping people alive and not seeing people get better? I need to help with this. So Lynn Rose has been in this for 15 years, and she's, you know, she saw the horrors of, you know, being a vaccination nurse and, you know, and doing this stuff to kids, and they go, I can't do this anymore because I don't think this is helpful. And wherever we are with this, it's not like we're throwing away the baby with the bathwater, as we said. So thank you all for sharing. So, yeah, appreciate it. All right. So I want to share a formula that I put together. So these guys know what it is. So we're going to, they're going to leave, and the people are going to take the chairs off the stage. And I'm just going to, I have some slides I want to show you of how do we reach this new paradigm. Right? Do we have a strategy? Do you have a way that you're going to go, one, two, three, these are the steps I'm going to take? And over the years of being in this place, I've discovered there's formula and then there's personalization, right? And there's things we need to do to be the best practitioner out there, because you need to be getting results and you need to be setting yourself up as a pillar in the community of we need to send those people to her. Like Chet said, she got 20 referrals as a result of helping one person. And that's how our practices grow, is through referrals. I never did advertising when I had a practice, an in-person practice. It was all referral-based because people got results. They hadn't gotten results before, and they were able to share and grow the practice. So we need to be committed to this new paradigm. Who's committed to this new paradigm? Yes? We're going to help go forward. So there you are, and you're looking out over this vista, and your vision is out there of this practice that you want to have, these people that you want to serve, this community, the change in this world. But what keeps you from getting there? How are you going to cross that divide? And I believe that a big part of it that keeps you from doing it, I need a new clicker, is confidence. Who here has ever suffered from that, I don't have the confidence, I'm not sure if I can help? Anybody? Yes? Okay. And why do you have lack of confidence? It's not just a psychological thing. If I'm just not a confident person, I've always not been confident. Sometimes, most of the time, it's because of a lack of competence. If you don't feel like you have the techniques and the skills and the tools, then how can you be confident? So what I want to share with you is what I put together. We want to be unstoppable, invincible. We want to be out there as practitioners, yet how do we get there? And I call it the unstoppable practitioner formula. And I believe that there's three key elements that you all need to master to be there. It's not just about knowing what labs to run. It's not just about knowing what genetic tests to do or how to interpret them. You need to be in impeccable self-care, self-nurturing. You need to be taking care of you because it's demanding. It's demanding of you physically, it's demanding of you emotionally, and it's demanding of you mentally to be on and be the best you can be to be in a position to help these folks. So it's taking care of yourself. The second piece is the clinical skills. It's not enough to just know how to tell people to cook greens and how to drink more water. Those are critical, important pieces. But we also need to know some clinical skills. And I'm going to go through each of these in detail. And tomorrow, I'm going to give you a beautiful map of this that you can fill in for yourself and you can take notes on, and you can actually see where are the holes in your practice and how are you going to fill those holes. And then the third piece is the business piece, the piece that most of us like go, right? The business and the marketing, but what has to be is authentic to you. You can't go out there and take a sales course and start parroting this great salesperson and then not sound like you and sound phony. It's not going to work. We have to come from the heart, and we have to create a system of running our businesses and marketing our businesses so that people know what we do, so that people are like, I want what you have. Sign me up. Who would like that? That people just, you just emanate that. Okay, I want what you have. Where do I sign? Yes? Okay, so I'm going to go through each of these in a little bit of detail, and I want you to take some notes if you have something to take notes on. The first piece is the self-care. And we keep talking about, for all the SNPs, it's the foundational approach, right? What is the foundational diet, lifestyle habits that need to be in place? And so I came up with this idea of calling it the Body Freedom Foundations. Why do I call it the Body Freedom Foundations? It's because you can be free in your body when it's feeling good, right? When you don't have to worry about the joint pain here keeping you from going on a hike, or the stomach ache here and the gas and bloating keeping you from going to a party because you're embarrassed. Right? Having the energy, the stamina, the balance to be your best. So I put them in this order, and it turns out I think it's a really good order. Like, people want to go, let's start with diet, right? Let's start with this. I want to start with fun. Okay, so you start with fun. Get them having fun every day. Who here knows somebody who does not have fun on a regular basis? A lot of people, right? Okay, but what if the first step you gave somebody was have fun every day? Not avoid gluten and eat this and do that and have fun. I want you to take 5 minutes every day to have fun. Can you do that? Let's brainstorm some ways that you can have fun every day. Would you think you'd get compliance with that a little bit better than don't eat this and don't eat that and let go of your coffee and let go of your alcohol? Who thinks that would be, yeah? Fun, rest, exercise, environment, diet, outlook, and mindfulness. So as you get this tomorrow, I'll be asking you to go through and check off the ones that you are imploring, that you are putting into place, and where you need the work. Because I think we as practitioners have to be our best. When I sit with somebody and say, okay, what's your goals for your health? What do you want to do? I hear them a lot of times say, I'm going to be just like you when I get your age. And they're younger than me. Some of them are older than me. They're like, I want to be just like you. I want to be vibrant. I want to be full of energy. I want to be like you. And that's what you want to be, as a role model. Now, don't let it stop you from getting out there if you're not. Because you need to be working it, not masterful at it, not perfect at it. But you have to be working it. Right, there was a quote from Gandhi once. A mom went to him and said, I want you to tell my kid to stop eating sugar. He says, okay, come back in 2 weeks. They're like, okay, I'll come back in 2 weeks. Come back in 2 weeks, and Gandhi said, stop eating sugar. And she said, well, why couldn't you say that 2 weeks ago? We traveled hundreds of miles to get back to you. Why couldn't you tell me this 2 weeks ago? He said, I had to stop eating it myself. Okay? So we have to be willing to do the things that we're asking people to do. Not necessarily 100%, because we don't know what their specific, that may not be applied to us, right? It may not be our personalized nutrition plan. We have to be willing to do this. So this is what I call the Body Freedom Foundations. You need to be doing this for yourself, and you need to master how to take your clients and patients through these. The next, I call it the body balance system. What are all the systems in the body that you're going to balance? And we have to start with digestion, because if your digestion is not balanced, nothing's going to be balanced, right? Then blood sugar. If your blood sugar is all over the tour, we had two different cases talking about that, nothing can be working. Your adrenals. The adrenals are like the fight-flight system to get us out of trouble. The thyroid, the sex hormones, the brain, the organ. We need to do it, and I believe, in a specific order. Because if you jump around and somebody comes in with hot flash and you go, okay, let's run estrogen tests. Let's see what's the cause of this. Well, yeah, your estrogen's low. Here are some bioidenticals, or here's some black cohosh, or here's some other herbs that take care of this. But if you don't address the underlying, you don't address that the problem is maybe it's a digestive problem or a blood sugar problem, adrenal problem, then what? Right? You're just giving them a Band-Aid and a temporary solution. Oops. So that's the self-care part. So on the clinical side, and I want you to look at this and see which of these pieces you need. So you want to, my first step is connect. We want to be able to connect with that client and establish and clarify trust and get them connected to their big why. Because if you don't get them connected to why they want to be healthy, the next chocolate cake that rolls around for them, they're on it, right? But if they're going, no, like my patient said to me that I told you about earlier today, don't exchange what you want most for what you want in the moment. Sure, you know, who doesn't want a chocolate cake with ice cream on top of it? It looks good, right? And it's going to give you temporary pleasure. But if I have to exchange that for what I want most, which is body freedom, feeling good, feeling energetic, being able to get out there and change this healthcare system, be able to serve my patients and my students and help make this world a better place. So we want to do that. I have something I call the Why Discovery System. It's just some things that we use. You want to discover obstacles. What are the obstacles? What's getting in their way? They want to be here. They're here. What's getting in the way? What's on that path? And how do we get those obstacles out of the way? You've got to have a system for identifying that. That could be through assessments. That could be through doing various tests and things like that. Assessments are really good. Paper and pen assessments can give us tons of information. You were saying that to me the other day, how valuable those assessments are in helping to identify what's getting in the way. History taking skills. Let me tell you, 80 to 90% of what you need to know from somebody comes from good history. How many people would like to feel really confident and competent that they can do a history and be thorough and get everything, get at all those hidden causes? Yeah? Okay, so I have scorecards. I have scorecards of each of the different body systems. So how much is your thyroid and all? Are the slides not showing? Okay, there we go. And then a physical exam, if you can. But you know what? If you're not licensed to do a physical exam and you're not face-to-face, you can get them to do a physical exam while you watch or while they do it in advance, and you can get them to look at physical signs of imbalance, hormonal imbalance, nutritional imbalance. So having your clinical skills, the next clinical, so it's empower, analyze. So the next one is analyze. Good, I got it. Analyze. You want to be able to analyze. That's where functional lab testing comes in. And that's where a lot of the tests that some of our practitioners here were talking about. Do you feel, would you like to feel competent in what is a Dutch test? How do I run it? How do I analyze it? These are the things you need to be able to do and know who should I run a Dutch test on? Who should I run an organic acid test on? Who do I run any tests at all for? So there's a whole slew of tests that I think that we all need to be competent at least knowing how to refer to somebody who can do it. Because we want to get to the root cause. Whoops. All right. And then we have empowering. A lot of us are really good at that, right? Because sit with somebody, you're rah, rah, that's the coaching part. Empowering them to take action. We need this as part of what our clinical toolkit. And balancing their bodies. Like, what are those specific things that you need to take them through to get their adrenals balanced, to get their others? Everybody following me with this? Does everybody feel like these are reasonable skills to develop? Yes. Okay. So, sorry about this. This is a crazy button. Why is this doing this to me? So the third piece is that marketing piece. And this is where a lot of us fall short. A lot of us fall short on the self-care. A lot of us fall short on some of those clinical pieces. But the marketing and the business piece, that's, you know, a big gap. And if you want to build your competence, you build your clinical skills. If you want to build your ability to deliver, you build your personal stuff. But if you don't want to be the best kept secret out there and you want people to know about you, you need to build up your marketing skills. And there's places there like identifying who you really want to work with. Everybody, warm bodies. No. You can't market to warm bodies. You have to market to specific niches. Doesn't mean you can't help everybody. We can all help everybody pretty much. But do we want to work more with pregnant women? Do you want to work with depressed people? Do you want to work with people with Crohn's disease? Do you want to work with people mostly who have blood sugar and diabetes imbalances? Where is that you want to specialize? Because then that's going to help you to create the right marketing tools. And tomorrow we have JJ Virgin coming in to do this amazing talk on really honing in on this piece so that your language comes out to be what it needs to be. So if you have the skills, but nobody knows you have the skills, you don't know who you're talking to, you're going to fall short and you won't be able to grow your practice and you'll have to go back and get a day job. Does anybody want to get a day job? Some of you probably already still have a day job. All right. So then you want to learn how to package your genius. What do you do? What are the steps you're going to take people through? How do you package that? Not just, you know, you may not want to do an online program. You may not want to do group programs, but even one-on-one. What are the steps you're taking people through? You need to learn how to do that. You need to learn how to create strategy sessions and do strategy sessions with people where they're like, okay, how do I work with you? Right? Before I would do strategy sessions with people and I'd go, I'd tell them all this stuff and you need to do this and you do that and we'll do this and that and they'd go, oh, that's nice, great. They'd take notes and they'd leave. when I learned how to do the right kind of strategy session, where I really touched in with them, before I even got to say, oh, would you like to work together? They would say, I want to work with you. What do I have to do? I want this. This is what I want. Who would like to have that, where people that you sit across from go, yes, 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 I want to work with you, whether it's somebody in the supermarket or somebody that you've scheduled a time with? Who would want that? Yes? Yes. Absolutely. We need to get these skills up, and you're not going to get these skills up if you don't reach out and get the education and the training that you need, okay? And getting known, getting on stages, getting on webinars, right? A lot of you said they first heard me on a summit, right? I was speaking on a summit. I don't remember what summit, but I remember you, right? Out there, doing it in your community, libraries and all these places, and getting known for your expertise so they know that you know and they feel comfortable that you can help them and you're the one. So I put it together, whoops, damn. There. So those are the three, I'm just barely touching it, guys. There. All right, I have to go two back and then hit it and it goes two forward. That's what I get. I'm not tech challenged, honestly. What's that? So, in summary, the Unstoppable Practitioner Training is all these pieces, the formula. This is what you need to be. Many of you have different kinds of educational backgrounds. Some of you have been to IIN, to NTA, some of you are naturopaths, or some of you are optometrists and medical doctors and nurses. But if you put all these pieces together, and that's what these guys were so excited about, is being able to put these pieces together. So, darn it. So we created this Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training that you've been hearing us mention all weekend, and I want to share with you a little bit about it. Is that okay if I share a little bit about it and how you may be able to work with us in there? Okay, whoops, my thing wasn't on there. Give me a second. What's that? Oh, they fell on the floor. Oh, thank you. All right. So I want to share with you a little bit about this program. I created this program about 5 years ago, and I had this idea that what do I do to get what's in here that I've been doing for the last 20 or 30 years? I'm a researcher. I like charts. You saw that, right? I like to geek out. I like to find the information, and then I like to simplify the information. And over the 25 years that I've been in practice, I've created systems and processes to help me get results so I know how to do it. Now, that doesn't mean it's a rote program that you give everybody, here's your protocol. Thank you. Here's your protocol. Here's your protocol. No, it's how do you personalize that? What are those steps that you take to make that happen for each person? So I put it together and I had this idea like, okay, you know, I want to leave this to people because not everybody wants to do that. When I was in school, people would call me all the time, can I have your charts? Can I have your charts? Because that's how I studied. I organized things. And after I graduated, I had my colleagues that I graduated with contacting me and asking me, what should I do in this case? What should I do in this case? And I started thinking, well, what is it that I'm doing? Why don't they know this? They were sitting in the same classes as I was. And I realized that I had a gift for being able to systematize and being able to analyze and being able to be a health detector. And I said, well, is that something I could teach people? And I started to think about that, and I said, yes, it is. What do I have to do to teach this to people? I believe that if you want to really help people to get well and stay well, you need to understand how the body's working. You need more advanced type of practitioner training to be able to think through and understand, well, if this is happening over here and this symptom's happening over here, what are the connections? Oh, well, this pathway and that pathway, and now I get it. And this may seem a little overwhelming, but after time, after a while of doing this, you start to see it. And we see this all the time on our case study calls. So I put together the program with the idea that I would train practitioners through this thing. And nutritional endocrinology, right? It's endocrinology. People say, are you an endocrinologist? No, I'm not an endocrinologist. But I study and I understand endocrinology. And guess what? Endocrinology is everything in the body. Everything's run by hormones, right? So nutritional endocrinology is looking at how those interactions happen between the systems and how one area controls another area via hormones. There's hormones in the digestive tract, the gut, the heart, the kidneys, everything has hormones. So we created a comprehensive program, and the program has 36 modules designed to be taken at your leisure, at your pace, where when you finish module one, you go to module two, you go to module three, and then you go, I just had an adrenal person come in, and I need to get module seven. Can I get module seven? Sure, we'll open module seven. But we try to keep it modular so that you can do it. We initially had everything open, and people would go, I'm overwhelmed, I'm going to quit, it's too much. I'm like, what? Just do it one place at a time. But because of the different brain chemistry, right, the different ways brains work, we said, okay, you get control. You get to open it when you're ready for the next module. They do build on each other. And I really recommend that you get through the early modules and learn this stuff and get the sequence. But more so than that, is the calls that we get on a weekly basis practically. Some weeks there's none, some weeks there's three. For case studies, for implementation, for you bringing whatever is going on in your practice, like Michelle was saying, and like Annette was saying, you know, getting help with the real patients that you're dealing with, the real clients. I mean, Tony, who you've met as our vibrant MC up here when she first started in the program, she was maybe 6 weeks in, and she said, okay, I did a talk in the community on hormones, and I said I was studying nutritional endocrinology, and suddenly all these people came to me and said, oh, I want you to help me because you're doing endocrinology. And she said, I had this person come in, and she's scheduled for thyroid surgery in 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, and she doesn't want to do it. But I don't know if I can help her. Like, what do I do here? And she was new. And I said, okay, so here's the questions to ask. If the answers are this, here's what else to ask. I just gave her, would we take 5 minutes to give her some ideas? And she said, okay, I got this. And I said, we're here for you. So if you think it's too complicated a case for you, take it on anyway, unless it's a life-threatening thing where, you know, you want them to get immediate emergency care. So she did this, and she came back in, and a few weeks later she goes, okay, I asked this question, and she said, no, she doesn't have thyroid cancer. That's not why they want to take it out. They want to take it out because her TSH is high, and she has a family history of thyroid cysts, and they want to remove it. And she says, I told her I'm going to help. So she started with digestion. She started with, I'm going to look at what's out of balance that's causing her thyroid to go bad. She took the systematic approach. She worked with her on her digestion. She worked with her on her blood sugar. She worked with her in identifying the obstacles, that same process they gave you. And the woman had not been able to lose weight forever. And 3 months later, this woman had canceled her thyroid surgery. And she was lost weight, and she was feeling better than ever and telling everybody and getting referrals for Tony, because Tony had the confidence to say yes, even though she didn't feel she quite maybe had all the competence yet. She knew she had the community to draw on that, and she had the learning modules where she could learn whatever she needed to learn. And I checked in with Tony a while back, and she said, yeah, 2 years later, the woman's fine. Tony hadn't had the courage to say yes, if she hadn't felt like she was going to be supported to say yes, this poor woman would have lost her thyroid. If anybody has ever had thyroid surgery or known anybody with thyroid surgery, it's a challenge to keep yourself balanced over the years, right? You have to take hormones for the rest of your life. So this is the kind of results that you can be having. So we have case study calls. We bring in experts on all kinds of topics. Somebody said earlier, I'd love to learn more from Donna Gates. Great, we'll bring her in as an expert. We've had Tom O'Brien. We've had Ben Lynch. We've had Alan Hopkins. We've had the guy I mentioned earlier, Brady, father of functional medicine, and now I'm Jeffrey Bland, right? We've had all these people come in and do talks live with us so that we can actually interact with these pillars and these very experienced people. You've got access to, so that's that. You also have access to all of my client programs. You get to go through them. And you don't just get to ask questions about your clients when you come to the calls. You're allowed to ask questions about you as the client. I just got my adrenal test back. This is what's happening. We do some analysis. Everybody gets to hear it and learn. Okay? And we also have a practice building part. We have 6 modules to take you step by step through how do you get out there, how do you get known, and you can ask questions about that on our open coaching calls. So there's a lot more, and we're going to be passing out in about, you know, a few minutes these brochures to let you know more about it. The program, you get 2 years of support from us, 2 years. So you can do the program as fast as you want to. If you're a full-time student and you don't have a full-time job and you have a lot of time on your hands, you could probably get through it in a year. I don't think less, because I basically synthesized everything that I learned in my 4 years of chiropractic school, my acupuncture school, my herbal medicine school, my master's in nutrition. And I said, what's the fluff? Because what I had to do when I wanted to change careers is I had to quit my job. I was making really good money in a computer business. And the only way that I could get educated was to quit my job and go back to school. And that's not practical for many people. I was fortunate. I had my soon-to-be husband at the time who said, okay, you can do this. Let's do this, right? Some people have to go into major debt. Like, going to college right now is like $100,000 to $200,000 debt, right? I wanted to create something that anybody can do from home and online at their own pace. And this is what we created. And I've mentioned the program to other folks, other practitioners, and I've mentioned how much I'm charging for it, and they're like, what? Are you serious? That's how little you're charging for this? You should be charging more. And I really want to keep it available to as many people as possible. So I'm keeping it so that I can cover my costs and I can provide you the best service. Lynn is our dean of students. Many of you have met her. You've seen her up on stage. She's amazing and she takes care of you. One of the features we added this year was every quarter you're going to get a check-in call with Lynn. Where are you at? What do you need help with? Where are you at with your studies? Let me help you organize, because sometimes people, life gets in the way. And you go, oh my God, how am I going to do this? So Lynn gets to step in. And I'm going to look here and just make sure I didn't miss anything. And we're going to hand these out to you in a moment. Yeah, so we've got all these modules, 36 modules, one on every body system, on every functional test there is. And we're constantly adding more and special cases and special calls for you to be there. You also get some certification when you finish. You go through, you do cases. That's what Lynn just earned. One of our other coaches on the team took her through, and we made sure she passed all her tests. There's a test at every one, and she got her certification. Does the certification mean anything? Legally, people ask. No, it's not a legal certification. It's something that you can say, and you can put on your website, that I'm certified by this institution. And there's a lot of certifications out there. Few, if any, have like, oh, it's continuing aid credit you can get. It's like a master's degree. But you know what? Master's degrees are overrated. I have two of them. I didn't learn a lot of practical stuff in my master's educations. Where I learned the practical was the hard knocks of being out there and in the trenches and working with patients. And so I've taken all of that training that I've done, and I've taken all of that coaching experience and that one-to-one with people and the group education now that I do group stuff, and I've taken and put into a program. And that's what I want to share with you. And you are invited to join us. So I would like to just say, who would like to be more competent in their practice? Anybody? Who would like to have more clients? Yeah? Who would like to reach more people so that we can change the world together? Yeah? Okay. It's an amazing group of people. You've met quite a number of them here. You met some of them up here. You've probably mingled with a lot on the stage. And that's what we offer. I will say that for a select few, we only have I'm going to tell you about the bonuses. So the select few, we only have a limited number of spots in, but we have a section called Practice Accelerator, which if you already have a practice and you want to just expand it and through the roof and you want to really get better at that and reach more people, we have three levels of that Practice Accelerator, from silver up to diamond. And it affords different levels of talk with me. I don't want to talk about that now. I don't want to confuse you. If you're in, you want to be in, and you want to be considered for Practice Accelerator, you're just going to check the little box at the bottom that says, I want to be considered for Practice Accelerator. We're going to invite you to a breakfast tomorrow morning with me and whoever else is interested, plus a couple of our current Practice Accelerators who are here. We'll meet for breakfast. We'll tell you what the options are. The options are laid out in here, and we'll give you more detail about that. That means I take you under my wing. At the diamond level, I basically take on you as my business, and we get you to the point where I'm going to launch you out. We have over 100,000 people on our list, and when we get you your program ready to go, we do a webinar together and we launch it to our community. That's the highest level of the program. We also have a done-for-you option in there, where if you want to get online, you want a lead gen a magnet, you know, something where you can get people opted in. We're going to actually do it for you. Because what I found is that over the last few years we've been doing it, people know what to do. They get the copy written. But that damn lack of confidence gets in the way. And it sits there. I don't know how to find it. I don't know how to do the web stuff. I don't know how to. So we're taking that objection out of the way. We're actually going to do it for you. We'll design the page. We'll get the graphics in. You do the words. It's your words. It's your heart. And we're going to do it for you. And that's a piece we added this year. So I'd love to share more about that, but I want to just share with those who already have a practice going. If you don't have a practice going yet and you just want to get started, or it's small and you're just dabbling out there, then let's just get you into the main program. And I'm going to share with you what some of the bonuses are. So you've met a lot of the people here. First of all, you're going to get a Create Your Online Program group strategy session with me. That's usually 6 to 8 hours that we're on a virtual seminar. So you don't have to leave your home. You don't have to get changed. And we're going to help you to lay out your strategy. We also have, you met Dr. Tom O'Brien. He has a certified gluten practitioner training that sells on his website for $2,300. You get that. And several of these folks have done that already and finished it. You get that as a bonus for joining and doing full pay at the event. And these only are available at the event. They go away after the event. And then you, the brand, JJ, who you're going to hear from tomorrow, who's brilliant. She has taken the concept of, she started taking the concept of food intolerance and elimination diets, and she turned it into a multi-million dollar business because she knows how to position it and how to get the people in there. And it's she's doing wondrous things and helping many, many practitioners as well as people around the world. You're going to hear from her tomorrow, and she's amazing. She's given us that bonus for everybody that joins and does full pay. It's worth $1,000 is what she sells it for. Laura Fine, you heard today. Big piece of this in getting people to actually do what you want them to do is that interaction and helping them to remove the energy blocks and the emotional blocks. So she's going to come in, and it's basically, she has a program called the Exceptional Practitioner Online Course and then a mentorship program that goes with that. It's over the course of 3 months, twice a month, where you actually get practice in using these skills to get these communication blocks out of the way. Who feels like they need to have communication improved to really get compliance with people? Yeah? And then finally, you've been meeting Toni all weekend. She has a thing called Passion to Purpose. Turning your own skills into a professional practice with Toni. So this is the bonus packet. It's worth over $5,000. It goes away after tomorrow. We're encouraging you to sign up by tomorrow, by the break, so we know how many people. We're having a big lunch to get us started. We'll have lunch. We'll get to meet each other. You'll get to meet the existing members. You'll get to meet each other, get to know each other a little bit. And then JJ is going to do a deep dive training on her You the Brand. She's going to get you started on that and walk away with some great solid information to get you started. Okay, so we're going to pass out the forums. And I really encourage you, look through. It's a very easy brochure to look through. Look through, decide if you're in or not. You don't have to decide if you're looking at a full pay, payment plans. You don't have to decide today. You just have to fill in this card. You're going to tear it out. And you're going to just put a deposit down, and then we can figure it out. Scott's very creative with financing if you need financing and helping you to get the full pay going. Full pay does not mean you have to come up with the full tuition tomorrow. You have 30 days to come up with the full tuition to get all those bonuses. So I encourage you to read through. And then turn to the very middle when you get your book. And you'll see some quotes from some of our students. And I'm going to just take you through. You're going to open up the book and you'll read a little bit about the program in the front. The mission is critical. We are on this mission to change the state of healthcare. And this is a super strong mission. So there's a couple of pages on what the program's about. There's a page on all the different pieces, so I've gone over a few of them. I would encourage you to look through that and make a heartfelt decision as to what you want to do. Do you want to be part of this community or want to try to keep doing it on your own? Do you want to have success? Do you want to share the kind of success that Tony's had, that Annette's had, that Michelle has had, Chet, Louisa, and a whole bunch of others in this room who have had the successes and are ready to make a difference. So I encourage you to fill out the card, go to the back of the room. Our team will be standing by. If you have questions, you're not sure about something, go ahead and get to the back of the room and start asking the questions. You have the option of doing a full pay. You have the option of doing a 24-month payment plan or a 12-month. And there's just a finance fee as you go up. Again, you get the full pay bonuses when you sign up today, or you commit to that. You have to sign up. You just have to get your deposit card in. You have to decide whether you're doing full pay or payment plan. I see so much talent in this room. I've seen the heads nodding. I've seen the light bulb moments go on, and I would love to welcome you to our community. So fill out your cards, go to the back of the room, and speak to our team. Thank you. If you decide you want to try for the Practice Accelerator, we have a separate brochure that you'll be given at the back of the room when you turn in your card. And I forgot to mention, for the first 5 people that register today, we're going to throw in a strategy session with you to really look at your business and look at your practice and see how you can actually go through this and help you to make your investment back very quickly. So thank you guys for listening. You've been great, and we'll see you.